with a very a new Indian that I mentioned the last week, though, that interested the question of the heart of palms, it's called Palmito, and the Pais can refer to it. What is that, and what's the Metzius? So let's first regress a little bit. Actually, we're going to move ahead a little bit. Taisus in Brachas Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis says something which perhaps if you don't pick it up, Taisus Lo Dimaskel Beretiva. Taisus throws in Al Tzukru Bevachin and Boyer Priyates Ki Yariyim Devashi Zet Tzukri. Now Taisus seems to assert that on sugar, Tzukri. Now Tzukri is in fact sugar. When you learn it, you might not understand it as so, but Tzukri is sugar. And Taisus seems to suggest on sugar the bracha is bayir priyates. Why is sugar bayir priyates? Why should sugar be? And why are there many rishonim that in fact feel that sugar is bayir priyates? So the answer basically is pretty simple. I think we have to be more on the defensive than being on the offensive. Sugar is a sugar cane, which is a tree, a type of tree. So therefore sugar, like any other bayir priyates, should be a bayir priyates. And there are Rishonim that seem to feel that halacha l'maisa. The Tor in Reish Beis quotes such days on sugar. In fact, like the Torah says, he calls it sukkah, it's even closer. Namaste, Samach Vav Chaf Reish Aleph, Kasav Bahag, Bayer Priyate, King, and he quotes the Rush. In other words, that's the simple reading of the Gemara should teach us that sugar should be a bayir priyates because it does. It is in fact a tree. Why is it that we know that sugar, we don't make an eight on sugar? So there are some that make somewhat of a concession that you make hadama. Why hadama? I mean, it certainly is high enough. It has the qualifications of a tree. Why should it be hadama? So that's an important yisoy that we'll see not this time, but as we come to that sugya, the primary usage of a fruit is a bayir priyates. If you derive a secondary benefit, in other words, if you use the fruit for what's not really the intended purpose, then the bracha goes down. Mm-hmm. If you eat the pits or the peels, if it's not really fully prepared, a something that's not the intended usage of the bayir priyates, although it grows in the tree. Together with the orange, but the orange rind, then pashit should be an adama, or make a shakal in fact. But certainly if you don't use the fruit for the intended usage, in other words, if it's not the ikaperi, the bracha goes down, like we just spoke about the first week in fact, that if you use something in a better way, the bracha goes up. That's why there's a bracha of a maitzi, there's a bracha of a gofen. If you don't use it properly, the bracha goes down. Why do we make a shackle on sugar? Because we can understand our eights, and hadam, I guess we could also understand why is the universal minik to make a shackle. So that's also interesting. It's also, it's seemingly obscure halacha, but it's very negeya to, in fact, our question of the heart of palms. The Paiskim seem to feel, those that hold you make a shackle, make a bayre priya eight, or bayre priya dhamma, only makes sense if you're eating the fruit of the tree. You're eating the produce, what the tree produced, right? An apple is the produce of the tree. So therefore, the bracha makes sense. Bayre priyot. If you eat the tree itself, you actually could eat the tree. Of course, it sounds like a theoretical statement, but it's not. If you eat the tree itself, then you can't set a bayre priyot. So what is it? It's probably a shakal, but the nusach of the bracha bayir priyates does not stim if you're only eating the tree and not eating the priyates. Sugar is a wonderful example. Sugar you eat, you suck, or whatever, I mean, the sugar cane, and certainly you could understand it, you're supposed to suck the sugar cane. So that already is the usage of the tree itself as opposed to a fruit. And as if the sugar cane would give off, sugar cubes, okay, maybe you can make an eight on that. But it's not the case. They produce the sugar from the cane itself, from the tree itself. If you suck the sugar cane, you certainly can understand it as such. But they don't do that. They extract it with that processing. But Lamaisa, the tree itself, the priya eight itself, becomes what's edible. That cannot be a bayir priyates. And therefore the bracha goes down and the bracha is a shackle. So therefore the minig ha'olam, and it's talking, not such a very convincing argument, but the minig ha'olam is on sugar we make a shackle niya b'dvari, and the reason is because you're not eating the peri of the eitz, you're eating the eitz itself. Tiyadua, you must have heard it, the Chasam Sofer never ate sugar plain, because he heard there's a suffix, and if it's a suffix, he felt that he wouldn't take a chance. But what's the suffix involved? The suffix is because, as we said, the fact that the peri itself is not eaten. Okay, sugar is something that's not much of the halacha l'maisa we know, but where this comes in, it takes a very interesting twist. I found it amazing because it's poiskim that are using every bit of information that we're given to apply it in contemporary society. Is the question of the, like we mentioned, the heart of palms and bamboo shoots. You might be familiar with that. That's all that they're, today it's pretty popular. They have the bamboo shoots. They have everything downstairs for lunch once a week. Have with rice. You have rice with vegetables. But the heart of palms is a fascinating sugya. Now it touches bases with many of the issues in Hilchos Brachos. What's the question of heart of palms? So first you have to know the metzius. You know, before you get lumdis and halachas, you have to know what it is. Heart of palm is pretty much the way it sounds. Everything, supposed to at least, supposed to have a heart. You know, say about this guy who had heart problems, went to the doctor. He goes, one thing I'm happy, at least the doctor says I have a heart. You know, he thought he's a heartless person. Everybody's supposed to have a heart. That's the assumption. A tree, in a certain sense, also has a heart. That is called the heart of palm. The palm tree in particular is a very productive fruit, very productive tree, I should say. It dates as its fruit. Lulavim is something that also we benefit from the palm tree. One usage which is certainly not intended, in fact it's a very interesting, it's a mud nazach that we do, but you cut down the whole palm tree, and in the center is the heart of it, the heart of the palm. It's a round circular thing which is very firm. You take that out and you're supposed to put it in a mixture. You're supposed to leave it for a while, and with that it softens and it becomes a very delicious, we call it a vegetable or fruit, I'm not even sure, but it becomes a very delicious edible item. In other words, they take the center of the tree, actually the tree itself, that's the heart of it, and they process it to make it edible and make it now it's a very popular type of meichel. And the question is, what's the correct bracha on this heart of palm? So we don't have to really guess, at least in this. This is the Gemara. When you learn the Gemara, it's going back to Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. Koira, Rav Yehuda Ayma, Rehuda Boyer Pi Adama, and Shmuel Ayma Shahakam Niyab Dvare. What's Koira? So look in Rashi. His mom is just about on the center of the Gemara. Rach Shal Dekel, Kishanaf of Gedalim Bechol Shana, Vishana Kidera Kalilanas, Hanoisha Vishana Zu, Rach Ubishana Shmiya, Miskashiv and Nase. In other words, this Dekel, this Tamar, which the Rishainim, I think, are a little more descriptive than Rashi, which the Rishainim explain, other Rishonim, that is, it's the, actually, this is the, using the dekel itself, the tree itself, and they process it. However, we paskin on this Chayra, the brach is shakal nevetvar. Now, the Chayra, if it's edible, obviously you're not eating a summer tree. If it's edible, why shouldn't it be a bayer pri'et or bayer pri'adam? So the assumption is, the way the Rishonim learned, it's not Rashi, but the Rishonim learned, the Torah quotes them, that if it's not the adaita dehachi, is a very big criterion in Hilchos Brachos. We've mentioned this the first week. If you take oranges, which is a bayer pri'et, and you make orange juice, although that's the essence of the orange, the bracha is a shakal nevetvari. Because you're supposed to eat the orange, not supposed to make orange juice. And oranges are planted to eat, they're eating oranges, and you're making it into a juice, so you have somewhat demoted, you have somewhat ruin the usage of the food, and the bracha goes there. We mentioned, and this is important, what's taka, if that's the case, how about juice oranges? let's see, which today, assuming, you know, presumably the juice are made from juice oranges. So there certainly is a makom to say that on orange juice made from juice oranges, the bracha would be a bar priyat. I've seen tshuvas that say this, but that's not the case in halacha l'maaseh. Let me clarify that. First of all, I did my little homework. Tropicana and certainly the Atiba brands will not verify that they only use exclusively juice oranges. That's not the mitzvah. They take any orange that is for them financially beneficial. If they get an old crop, they get they won't say this of course, but even if it's not so edible anymore, they will not use exclusively juice oranges. So therefore the whole question is really academic by nature, because the juice of today is not used from juice oranges. Where is a shayla, and when I was young this is much more common today, you probably don't even see it, but on Pesach we didn't have orange juice. You bought juice oranges, and you squeeze it. So that could be mamish, a case of plain orange juice. So that could be a bar priyat. That's the emes. The reason why it's not is the aside that, again, we'll see in Hilchos Brachos as we proceed, a mashka is never bayre prihoid. That's the bottom line. See? There are two exceptions. Shemen Zayis is one, and bayre prihoid. That's right. Like we mentioned last week, because of the unique chashivas of Yayin cannot be accorded a plain shakal, not even a bayre prihoid. It has to be given the more prominent bracha of Gafen. But that's certainly the exception to the rule. The norm is juice is never bayre prihoid. That's why postum is a strictly mezainous beverage, it's pure wheat, it's a shakal. Beer, I think, is a wonderful mushroom. Once something is used in the not intended usage of it, the bracha has to go down.
Does that mean if you ate a juice orange, it would also be shakal?
No, because that's a bayre prihoid.
It's made for juice.
I don't know if it's made for juice exclusively. It's still a peri, and it still can be eaten. Juice orange is not grown exclusively for oranges. Orange juice is supposed to be made from juice oranges, but you could eat juice oranges. You don't eat juice oranges? Can I look?
Yeah.
Okay, so
what do
you eat there?
What's a juice orange? There's an orange. It looks almost the same.
Right. It has a much thinner peel.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. It's just like, it's more juice and less pulp.
So it's not correct to say if it's used for something that's not the intended use that the brother goes down. That's not the intended use.
The intended use of a juice orange is probably to eat also.
No. Oh, yeah. It's still peri.
What?
But it's still peri.
Intended use of a juice orange.
But it's
still peri.
Not that I tell you. The Gemara says, Ishtani the Reusa. We learned it earlier, and Ishtani the Reusa over here. Let's say you take the raw potato. Why is there a shakal
in the
bar?
Because it hasn't been as a vegetable.
So let's say I tell you that no one's supposed to eat juice orange. It's only supposed to make the juice.
Right.
Let's say it has a very offensive taste. But obviously, that's not the case. Obviously, if you do eat it, then you're...
I don't understand why, because the svara doesn't make sense. If a juice orange is made...
Are you demoting the usage? Are you limiting
the
usage?
But
I don't know why you're looking at that. Right.
I think there are oranges that use exclusively their oranges.
Yeah.
And others are far as natural.
They use only juice.
They advertise that it's fresh.
Does the
they have such an advertising.
What does Grove have to do with it?
Or the orange Grove use, like the guys getting wild oranges.
It could be regular oranges also. Okay, I did Tropicana. Yeah. I don't know this. We'll soon see that you can't. Why should they use? Let's say they have a whole shipment of like second rate oranges. Why shouldn't they use that?
No, but it makes sense that they would have their own orange groves and they take their orange groves. And then
correct, but again, it really a lot of marketing depends on availability. If they have a whole shipment of oranges at a good price, then they're going to use it. You know, I don't know if you could tell the difference. I think it's just not. And economical to use regular oranges, but I don't know if it affects the taste of the orange. I'm not sure. Anyhow, this is the really the crux of the issue when you're dealing with the question of the heart of palms. A palm tree is a very productive tree. It has many usages. Not to cut it down and use a fraction of the tree. That's really not using it properly. And that's why the Kaira, we paskin on this Kaira, on this quote, is, I don't know if it's a vegetable or fruit. It's, I mean, it's a tree.
Cut down the tree?
Of course, absolutely. No question about it.
According to Rashi, it sounds like the heart of palm is something different.
Yeah, it's the other.
When it's still Rashi.
Right, I alluded to that. That Rashi is less descriptive of the right. Heart of palm. The other Rishonim are more clear. Rashi's Shita. There's a Rashi of his Tshuva. There's the Rush. You're right. Rashi seems to learn it somewhat of the shoots, like bamboo shoots. The shoots.
Yeah. In the first year, while it's still Rashi, you said that they process it to make it Rashi.
Right. Okay. Let me qualify that.
Actually is the heart of palms.
What?
Curry can't be.
According to some Rishonim, not according to Rashi. According to some Rishonim, Rashi has a similar understanding, which is probably more applicable to bamboo shoots. Now, the really that's why heart of palms always was a shackle, because it wasn't the intended use of this tree. In other words, a person would have to go over to his whatever, I don't know how you call it, his palm gardens. And okay, that's an advertisement. There we go. I once spoke about Kedem grape juice. I got it. Okay, here we go. I should never have to go there, but it's a wonderful place. What? Yeah. Free. This is free. Okay. But that's the point is that a person would have to be making a very mighty sacrifice. He's cutting down his palm tree just to get that little bit. And he must have been a very rich person. What? I mean, you eat Gemara, you drink beer, it's Baltashkas, and all that. It's Baltashkas. I never thought of that, you should know. It's a good question. Unless you're cutting it to eat it, right. If we give the sugar the status of a... I don't know, I have to think about that. That's a good point. How it's made of sugar cane. An excellent point. See, the truth is today it's probably a little more, but it's more serious. I'll have to find out the Messiah exactly. That's why the heart of palm always was a bayir pri shakali b'dvari. When did it change? When the Messiah changed? And this is very interesting. The heart of palm, as I said, was an exclusively a wealthy person's food because it didn't pay. I mean, it was a very expensive proposition. Some very wise people saw a big market here, a big opportunity here. So he went to Costa Rica and all these places, and they grew these palm trees with the sole intention of cutting it down. Now, they weren't going to harvest it and work in it and then have the dates and the like. They grew it to be able to produce in a mass production heart of palms. And that's the Matias that I know today. It's grown in Costa Rica, and it's in multitudes of these little trees. And when they get enough, they yield that heart of palm, they cut it down, and they gave Aita. So that's why the reason to make a shackle probably does not apply anymore. Because now, it is not the Adaita Dachi to make this heart of palm. In fact, it's not that expensive like it used to be. Because now it's cheaper. So therefore, it could feasibly be a Bar Priyates. Lamaita the Bracha probably is Adama. Why should it be a Dhamma? Why can it be a Bar Priyates? So the Paiskim use this reason that if you eat the tree itself, it can't be a Bar Priyates. It has to go down a level. And that's Mamish the Metzias by this heart of palm. They actually eat the tree itself.
The reasoning was not because it can't. The reason was free doesn't
pass. Right, right.
The tree has Dhamma. It's the same thing in the tree.
Why not? Right, it's all. No. Some say you do. You're right. It's not a pre or eight, but it could be the pre adama.
Of course,
it is a peri. But I think here we see it as a peri because it's grown exclusively to transform it into these heart of fire. Okay, I mean, I think Rabelski feels it's still a shackle, and he says because the Gemara calls it a shackle, we have no right to change it, and the Paiskim actually. But I think the Veld makes it Adama because the Metzias is totally different, so therefore it has a whole new halach.
In such a case where we say, some Samir Adama, so is there a reason to make a shackle?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So the mice,
the mice you can maybe shackle certainly comfortably.
Right.
Right. But I just wanted to give you the Sefer Zayta Bracha. It's a relative, it's probably the newest Sefer. So he, in the newest print, he speaks about this Talmito. He quotes many Paiskim that make Adama. That's why I said Adama, because, and he goes through the, in the back, Mamish in the back, and it's in the, really the sugya of today is a beautiful, beautiful, and I hope to finish it. We just touched upon it the other day. The basis of Hilchas Brachas, one of the most important sites in Hilchas Brachas, is the Mishnah that we have at the end of the Perek. We have the mention right over here in the beginning, the Flamet Heim Abeis, we learned it the other week. The rule of thumb in Hilchas Brachas is Kol Shu Ikka V'Imay Tfeila, when you have a mixture, a food combination, Mevarech Ala Ikku Paitas Atfei. And the Paiskim say unequivocally, that does not mean, that's not giving you like a, you know, a bargain. You have two foods, you have a chayis bananas and sour cream, really you should make two brachas, you make Adama and a Shakel, but we'll give you a, you know, a deal. Make one bracha and give Aita. Chas v'shalom. Ik of a tuffle means you make one bracha and you cannot make a second bracha. You make another bracha, it's a bracha levatol. And how to determine Hilchas Ik of a tuffle, we'll have to wait for the sugya a little later. But Ik of a tuffle, I think this has to be stressed, is not shah, you be yoitza with less. You have to be yoitza, better yet, you have to make the bracha on one bracha. There's no two foods on one bracha. That does not exist.
If it's going to eat it separately, like first the banana,
then it's not Ik of a tuffle. Ik of a tuffle has a specific halacha connotation. It has to be one achila. The Aruch HaShulchan explains, if in every spoonful you have that mixture, it's one food. You're going to tell me I eat it separately. If I'm told me you have the carrot on top of the gefilte fish. So he says, you eat the carrots first, I didn't give a tuffle. It's certainly subordinate to the fish, you're not eating carrots. But if it's not Ik of a tuffle, you make a adama than a shakel. So we mentioned this last week, the Hilchas Brachas is really very much subjective. If you eat carrot with your fish, because on day, people have stuffing and chicken. I'm not getting personal, but if you eat it together, the stuffing with the chicken, it's a mezainis. Well, whatever the stuffing is, we'll soon see. But once you do tell me that it's Ik of a tuffle, it's one food. If you're going to tell me I eat it separately, because I'm dead. The Mishabura says you have, let's say, schnapps with the lechayim, cake and cake and lechayim. Certainly the lechayim is the Ikka. You only give cake because, you know, you have to be a mensch. But then again, it's not eaten together. It's not Ik of a tuffle.
If you eat the carrot with the fish,
Avada. I answered Pam because we ate the carrots separately. It's a funny thing. I think it was maybe the second or third year I ever gave. I made an unintended blunder, but I don't think it's my fault. I was trying to explain Ik of a tuffle, that it has to be that it's eaten together. Even though it's served together and it's associated as one, that's irrelevant. And I gave the mushroom of carrots as fish, which Pam told me. And I gave a mushroom. I didn't bother even researching. I thought it was so simple. Like in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if you're familiar, but I don't know how it is today, but when I was there, that they gave for the kugel, they gave the Yishalmi kugel and a pickle. I don't know, maybe today it's probably more elaborate, but when I was there, that was the Shabbos Kiddush. How was it today? I don't know. But that's the way it was around the country. Big piece of Yishalmi kugel and a pickle, a sour pickle. I said, although that, you know, in the for Yishalayim mentality, that's mamish one. The Yishalmi cook with the pickle, it's mamish one. But that's not Ik of a tuffle. It's two different foods. Huh. Afterwards, someone says, I don't want to break the bad news to you, but you know why you eat the pickle? Because there's so much spices and so much pepper in the Yishalmi kugel, so the pickle is supposed to neutralize the effect of the Yishalmi kugel. So I found that to be mamish startling. If that's true, if that's the chemical somehow effect of the pickle, then we'll soon see that's mamash a bona fide Ik of a tuffle.
Mishnah.
Yeah, that's the Mishnah in the Memdalet, and I said that for a reason, we'll have to use that. The Mishnah in Memdalet describes Ik of a tuffle in a most unusual way. The Mishnah speaks about if you have a very, very salty fish. We're not talking about herring, even salted herring, even the spicy. It's talking about a fish that's totally inedible unless you have the bread to neutralize it. So the Mishnah in Memdal, please remember try to remember that Maramakim will help us understand the very cryptic Vilna Gaon. But Zeh Klal, Kol Shu Ikka V'Imay Tfeila Mevarech Ala Ikku Paitas Atfeila. In other words, the assumption is clear that the bread is only there to help you eat the fish, because you can't eat the fish as it is. The fish is so salty. So if I could use this term, and I think it has it's certainly accurate, the bread is somewhat like a fire extinguisher. The salty fish burns, and it's not good. So you have to eat. In fact, you can't even eat the salty fish without the bread. So the bread is intended to be a fire extinguisher to put out the effect of the salt. So that's the Mishnah's muscle. In fact, that's the only Mishnah that really speaks of Ikav HaTafel, because there it's a clear Ikav HaTafel. Now, the bread was not cooked with the fish, and it's not giving taste to the fish, but we can understand that's a Tafel Gamur. That's mamish, totally subordinate. It's only there to help you eat the fish. And that's what the Mishnah explains Ikav HaTafel. Fine, wonderful. In fact, the place can refer to that as a Tafel Gamur. It's not even, you're not even eating it for the bread. You don't even look at the bread, what type of bread, rye bread, that's all irrelevant, because you're eating it just because of the salt. Because of the salt of the fish. And then we start learning the Gemara over here. The Gemara Ikav HaTafel tells the klal, right? Then the Gemara on the Aflam of on the bottom tells us something that seems to fly in the face of the whole Ikav HaTafel and the whole klal. The Gemara speaks about a certain type of dice, a certain type of cereal. And again, the Gemara is not questioning the Metzias. The Metzias, on the bottom of the Aflam of the base, this dice, undoubtedly the Iker is the honey. The honey is both in the quality and quantity. The honey is the ikar. It's more and it tastes better. You put in the dice of the cereal, that's there as an ingredient. But the ikar is the dvash. Zakti Gemara, one shita, which makes a lot of sense. If you da ayma shahakal, why sava duvsha ikar? After all, the honey is the ikar. So we know ikar v'tafel is the rule of thumb. You should make a shakal. Yet Rav Kahana says, Boyer mina mezainais. Why? And the way the Gemara concludes, Rav and Shmuel damat avayu, kol sheyesh b'chameshes minim, mevarchin alav boyer mina mezainais. And then the Gemara continues, Gufa, Rav and Shmuel damat avayu, kol sheyesh b'chameshes minim, mevarchin alav boyer mina mezainais. And the Rishonim point out, the Shita Mekubetzes on the Aflamet Zayin, the Ritzvah on the Aflamet Tes, there's no question about it. The mezainos is secondary in its content and in its usage. But and the dvash is definitely the ikar. But once you have a mezainos there, the whole rule changes and you make a mezainos irrespective of the function of the mezainos. And that's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like that in a few places in Reish Ches, earlier in Reish Beis. Once you have a mezainis, you make a mezainis, even if the other ingredient is the yikar.
The Beis Yosef brings down the Rambam,
yeah,
on the same thing, and he said, and brings down the Rambam's halach about ikar and tafel, even by mezainis.
It could be because there's a shita of the Gemara of Kahana. It could be.
But Rambam has
maybe. I didn't see the Rambam, but it could very well be. Why not?
The Gemara says over here the reason for Kahana was because he held that smidah was there.
That's originally, but look at Levaita. Kol sheyesh, I understand, but kol sheyesh, I said the Shita and the Ritzvah point out, even if the mezainis is not the Ikka,
that's not necessarily from this Gemara.
From the original Gemara. Now who told you smido Ikka? Who told you Ikka means because in the quantity?
I'm not from this quantity.
It doesn't, I'm telling you it doesn't. The Shita and the Ritzvah both say,
what is Ikka?
Okay, let me explain that. That's a good question. Chaim, that's a good question. The answer is the way the Torah in Reish Ches. Would you see the Torah, Reish Ches? The Torah says clearly, the mezainis is not the ikar. So why does it become a barimina mezainis? What's the shat and kol sheyesh boy? We mentioned this last week. Because mezainis has two qualities. It's first of all, it's satiating, it's filling. And the first mile of the Torah says because it's chashiv, it's chameshes haminim. So that puts mezainis in a class for itself, and it can never be a tafel. So you can learn the Gemara smido ikka means it's ikka in half from halachic standpoint. Well, we're talking about the same cereal, obviously. I can't believe. Right, but let me ask you a question. When you say the tuf she'ika, that means what? So the arguing about Rebbe Metzias, that they could ask their Rebbezins?
That's what some of
them are saying.
The first time that ikka meant rice.
Usually.
Right.
First of all, it's not even true. Ikken tefel is not even, you know, that's not even true.
So when it's put down the sham the ikker.
No, no. I'm talking about an objective mitzvah. I'm talking about 100 cases that I want to get to, hope I'll get to today. I'm talking about a mitzvah like a potato knish, a cheese knish. Now, I think we could safely assume that the ikker is the filling. That's why it is a potato knish and a cheese knish and a spit. Chalons, okay, it's also fine. Chalons are better muscle. Chalons we put in barley. I once called up Rabbi Forrest from the Pesachei Lachan, and I said, oh, no, is barley really there for taste? He says, oh, certainly. You see, a Pesach challenge a different taste. Right? Barley is there for taste, but it's not the main taste. And it's certainly not the main ingredient as far as the kamas. But that's the Aruch Shulchan's muscle, that kol sheyesh, but once you have a mezainis, the question has been resolved. So here I could see a machleik is Rav Kahana and the other shita. Why not? Of course. So that's why I would understand the Gemara, the Metzias is the same. A chong that has 10% barley, 80% or whatever, 70% beans and potatoes, adama, and whatever 10% left I had, I forgot to do the calculation. Right. That's an objective reason that we don't... Why, if you're telling me that the mezainis is the ikka without the halacha, why are you stressing kol sheyesh by? The bottom line is we're talking about the, we could give you now, if we have the time, as I said, we'll have 100, I mean not 100 but close to that, at least we'll give you the guidance for 100 cases that fit into this mold, that the mezainis is not the ikka. If you have a kokish cake, you have a few raisins and peanuts and nuts, right? So that's not an ikivatov, that's not diskimayer, that's a mezainis. But let's say you have chalant, 10% meat, 20% barley, and 70% hadama. So that's the machlekes in our gemara. But again, you have to stress, why is that a boyer mina mezainis? It's not because there's a mezainis that's the magical formula. The Torah really alludes to this, but you look in the Shita on the Aflamet Zayin and the Ritz on the Aflamet Tes, they all say because the Mezainis is there for Achila purposes, it has the primacy in Hilchas Brachas. Now, what is the Ritz? What are the Ritz for me? I think we could use the Torah's understanding. Mezainis inherently is more chashuv for two reasons, and if this Mezainis is functioning as a food, and you'll soon see what do you mean food of what else is it, but. Let's focus on chalent, let's focus on a knish, let's focus on a cherry pie. You have the cake because you like the cake, it tastes good, it's filling. But rather, the ick is the ice cream and the ice cream cake. But that doesn't take away from the function of the cake as an achila. The brach is very minimal. Now this is very nice, and it's very convincing, and it's very logical. If the mezainis is there for achila purposes, the brach is clearly very minimal. That's the machlekes amirayu, and the Gemara paskins hilchaser kufa kol sheyesh bay you go baser mizayin. That's the machlekes. That's a Rav and Shmuel paskin. You go baser mizayin. Now we have a big problem. We have a problem with many of our foods that can't accept this halacha. I speak about meatballs, gefilte fish. Gefilte fish has a somewhat matzah meal, a flour, whatever it may be. Meatballs have a lot of it. Have breadcrumbs, have flour, could have challah. This is really pretty much interesting, but I'm going to say, someone I once gave a share, someone told me he works in a bakery. The way they make icing, plain icing on cake, they use the old bread, they grind it up into challah flour, and they call it mamish, very thin, and that's added to the icing to give it body. That means icing is a mezainis. I mean, we make mezainis a cake anyhow. But the real Pella is the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Samaches speaks about a pie, Kuf Samaches Siv Ches, and he says Mefeirish that on a pie the bracha is a shachar or an eitz, whatever the filling is. The Shulchan Aruch is Kuf Samaches at the end of Siv Ches. Ois and Rekik and Dak, you have a thin layer. Shenois and Makachas Aleim, you put cherry filling or you put ice cream or whatever the filling is. Heim tfein lagabi makechas, ubirchas a makechas petrus. If you have a thin layer of cake and the top of it is cheese, you make a shakal nimidvar. How did that work? Don't we say kol sheyesh bay? And why is the Shulchan Aruch saying you make a mezainus? A shakal out of mezainus. So the answer to all this we already should be familiar with. The only reason, the full reason why mezainus is the bracha, because the mezainus is functioning as a food item. Right? Chalons, it's there as food. Cherry pie, it's there as food. Cheesecake, knishes, and pierogins, and all these things. Strudel. But let's say theoretically, the markacha, the rikikin dakin, and that's the way the poskim explains, that's what they talk about. Really, you would serve ice cream just the way it is. But, you know, you can't eat with your hands. Rikikin dakin is very literal. It's a thin layer, and the only purpose is to be able to grasp and hold on to the ice cream. I just by a chasana last night. It was very interesting. They had like a cake, and then they had ice cream, and they had a little whipped cream. And I picked up the spoon, and it was very like moist. It was very strange. I looked at it. It was made out of chocolate. It was a chocolate spoon. Now, if that would be made out of mezainis, would that you make a mezainis on that? That's mamish spoon, right? You could hear it, you could see it, you could feel it, you could touch it. This rikikin dakin was not made for the taste of it. In fact, the taste was bland. It was like a really tasteless cone type of material that was only and exclusively put in to grasp the film. Oy bazoi, that's not kavanas achila. So chong is mezainis because of the mezainis. And cheesecake and strudel and pie is a mezainis. But in this extreme case that the rikikin dakin is only as a spoon, the makam spoon, then it becomes a tafel. Now this is beautiful. This is mamish beautiful. This is one of the many benefits you learn a little bit. Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Goyen, right on that mechaba, says something that's almost looks like a secret code, like a cryptic message. He writes five words. Each one is abbreviated. It makes it even more challenging. Chof Mem Shin, that's one word. Mem Dalet, Aleph, Hevil, Chulu, Zehaklal, Chulu. That's the Lashon of the Vilna Goyen. That's the Vilna Goyen's notes on the Rona's margin. Mama's like in a secret code that if you decipher this, you could figure out where the enemy are hiding. You know what I mean? Now, what does he mean? It's Mamish Masa Gitrash. The Vilna Goyen is wondering and is surprised. Why do you make a shakal on this pie? I rikikin dakin is mezainis. You should make a mezainis. Mezainis never butl. Where in the world do you find the precedence that mezainis is butl? So you'll tell me a svara, it's not for kavanas achila. Beautiful svara. But you have to prove it. You can't just disregard kol sheyesh b'chamesh. You've got to prove it. Where did the guy prove it from? Again, Chaf Mem Shin, that's Kamoishin is Mitzinu, Mem Dalet Aleph, is Mem Dalet Aleph, Heviu Zehaklal. So the Megayin is proving it from the Mishnah in Brachas of Mem Dalet. It's Mamish Masik Midrash. The Mishnah in Brachas Mem Dalet speaks about bread and salty fish. Wait a minute. Bread is not just Mezainis. Bread is the Kodesh HaKadoshim of all foods. Bread is so chashiv. You make a mitzi, you make a deal zidayim, and your bench and all the food. Bread is there. It's so chashiv, you don't make a brach on all the food in the Suda because of the bread. And all of a sudden, the Mishnah's bread becomes a tafel. How could that be? The answer is because the bread is not kavanas achila, it's a tafel. And that's the hezba of a kikin dak. And that's the source, and that's the precedence in halacha, that if it's there for eating purposes, you make a mezainis regardless. But if it's not there for eating purposes, if it's there as a spoon, as a fire extinguisher, like we explained, it's not kavanas achila, therefore it's bat. That's the pshat nigra. Now, just to apply it, I want to move a little quicker, because I want to try to cover at least all of the halachic implications. There are many of them. Is there such a case, that such an animal, quote-unquote, that's a very poor muscle, of rikikin dakin in our times? Depends. It depends. The Rav Moshe, the Ketoyis HaShulchan and Rav Moshe and the Tshuva, they allude to this yesoid, that if you have an ice cream cone, that might be similar, in theory, to rikikin dakin. Why? Because the ice cream cone is really tasteless, it's bland.
So the sugar
cone. Oh, so that's the thing. The sugar cone is certainly not the case. And between me and you, even a regular cone, some people like to say the sugar cone is too sweet. The ice cream with the bland taste is a perfect combination. So I'm just telling you what the Paiskim say. An ice cream cone, if it, you're only eating it because as a spoon, you could make a shakel. I don't think that's true of most people, you know. Again, the sugar cone is certainly not the case, and even, like Rav Shimon said, but even the regular cone, you know, as I once bought sugar cone, my kid said, it's too sweet. Buy the regular cone, it's better. So then it could be a regular, it could be a tuffle, that one bracha or two brachas will depend on a different shear, which I told you.
Sandwich.
What?
Sandwich.
That's certainly a mezainis. No question.
Could be that you're eating the ice cream, you
only have
the whole ice cream.
Really? I find that hard to believe, because first of all, your hands get dirty, so you don't even gain with that.
It's all subjective. It depends how it's being.
Right. Now, there, if you tell me your wife makes a cheesecake, that the bottom mamish is only to hold on to it, someone told me that. Okay, fine. Listen to hate. But cheesecake and strudel and pie and all of these, if it's there for taste, the deciding factor, is it there for taste? Then the bracha remains.
That individual?
Yeah, that's
irrelevant,
right.
Irrelevant or kikandaket.
What?
Irrelevant.
The kikandaket is a metzias. That it's only there to hold on to it. That's a metzias. You want to argue on it?
But there's a difference between gefilte fish, gefilte fish and ice, and
wait, I didn't get to gefilte fish. I didn't get to that. That, Rabbi says, the heads with the gefilte fish and meatballs and everything. And licorice we'll soon see. Licorice is a little more difficult. One second. The hesber is because it's there, not for achila. You put in the meatballs, you don't put it in for taste. You put it in as a filler, as a binder to hold it together. That's not my chiddush, that's the Gemara. The Gemara is a little later. Taisus over here mentions it briefly, but the Gemara is a flamites. And the Gemara is a fairish. If you remember, if you notice, Tosfos here, v'had shadi be'kimcha tvei ledevuka ba'alma avidale. In other words, the Gemara speaks about a combination, and the Gemara says you put in the mezainis just to give it body, just to as a binder. The bracha is a not mezainis; it's a bar piyadam. Many people today they make soup, push it, and they want it like a potato soup, whatever. They put a little flour in to give it body, to give it a little more texture. That's this Gemara. You might say, well, it's a mezainis, it's a bracha mezainis. That's not true. That's keneged halach. Taisus by us, that's the delam, above my base in the bottom, says beferish. It's kosher yeshbay. But he says, if you put the kemach, if it's there, imoisin kadesha yisod halev, if you were as a satiating ingredient, then you make a mezainis. Imadabek ba'alma, ain't sarach levarach, bari meaning mezainis. Where did Taisus get that from? He got it from the Gemara in Brachas of Lamites that if it's there as a binder, it's again it's not a kavanas achila. The brach is very mean. It's not very mean. As I told you, the Ritva there says the famous. Zok the Ritva, if you put in the flour in the soup as an achila, then the brach is mezainis irrespective of the quantity of it, because kol sheyeshbay. The Ritva says the famous. What's the Gemara's justification to make a hadama, because it's only there as a, to give it body, to give it texture, and therefore it becomes bot. Definitely, the body there for taste.
A lot of these, the fancy, you get a soup with a crusty coating on the soup.
What's there for taste?
And, oh, so if you break it up and you see that plain, because that's made, I think it's made.
What is it,
Japan?
That
person
has come
down to you.
No, yeah.
Make it over the
soup. Yeah, stay. I eat it together. Yeah? Oh, see, I had chocolate
food
and you. I said, do my deal wedding. Yeah?
Covers over the soup. And what? So you break it into the soup.
Right. That was Zalach come down to you with food.
Well, if the mezain is there for taste, then. I mean, well, let's talk
about. It's up to you. It's you eating it for taste.
Or else what?
What is it there now? Just to look fancy.
Why do you break it into your soup?
You can't take it off. You have to.
Oh, so soup nuts with soup. What bracha is that?
Soup nuts.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly it. It's the same here also. So that's really the same thing. If you would have the soup, somebody just told me that. Oh, that's not fucking possible. If you have a soup in a mezainis crust, in that shvach. I mean, you don't need the
the halacha
of
dafka, right?
Yeah.
The
dafka,
right? That would apply
to
clearly
the
gefilte fish for sure.
Oh, the gefilte fish is a problem.
What about all these Something, in other words, meatballs, all these things that it's inherently there to hold it together. But all these other foods which are subjective, which you might eat, ice cream cone,
right.
Is there a different halacha?
No, subjective is there. That's the halacha. The halacha is 100% klar. It's subjective. Now, someone asked me this once, and this is a little troubling. His grandfather's a cook in the yeshiva, and he puts in over 50% the zionist into the meatballs. Not the dabik. He puts it in, pash it to save money. It's a big problem. So I saw the Pesukei Halach in the back quote in Avinezer.
What's
wrong? What? Shvim is 50 more. So he says if it's there to fill it up, so it's why do not give on a sechila. In other words, that's a new application of it. In other words, the halach of the Dabik is not halach gzeir sechotim. The Rambam says if it's there for beauty, lenoi, if it's there for smell, the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Dalet Yud Beis quotes this. In other words, it's not exeris hakos of a dabik. It's any time, I think that's why I kept on stressing it. If it's not there, kavanas achila, it becomes tough.
There's no problem with the
Satsvarakla Shiur, my the Shiur is, what by you, it give a tough list.
I mean, that's
maybe
different brachos.
No, Chamesh Sabir. Well, it give a tough list is certainly the case. They give a tuffle. If you like the strawberries and the cream is a tuffle. Yeah, that's true. The Sadev Erech L'Shiur means there's no halacha. The halacha is ikiv a tuffle. Ikiv a tuffle is totally subjective. That's right. Now, the licorice thing, I still hear about it, and I think we should somehow put the colored leposik and colored leposik. Licorice is no doubt a shakal. I want to explain a little bit of the background of the tumul. The first sefer that came out of Hilchos Brachos, he was a trailblazer, and we are all indebted to him. I mean, Pischei Halach and the same bracha all followed his lead. The first and bracha, it was Makar Bracha, was written from a Diane Krauss in England. He's the first one that wrote Hilchos Brachos, and all the Paiskim, later Paiskim, give him the credit because he was literally a trailblazer. He writes and he quotes in the first printing. He writes that he was informed that in licorice there's flour, when a mashkiach went down to I think he said to Pashkis licorice, and it was flour, and he asked Moshe, you make a shak, I make a mazainis. Simple reading of Kol Sheyesh Bechameshes Min HaDavar, makes sense. That can't be, it's not true. There is flour, but the flour is there with davik. The Pischei Halacha, that's Rabbi Forst in the back, has a letter or two. He wrote to Y and S, which is Hershey's. And he wrote to, I think, the Blooms also, and they both said, yes, there's flour. In fact, there's 30%. 30% flour. You're talking about a close to a roif. But it's there only to give it body, and they added, I don't know these words, varaya. They sometimes they don't even use flour, they could use potato starch. So if it's there for the taste of the flour, how could they use potato starch? The teretz is there only to give body, and the bracha is a shaka. The newest print of the Makar Bracha, of that original Sefer, he writes, Taka, I asked, he's an Englishman, so he wrote to an English company, and he wrote back to Pashkas, and they all said, you're right, it's Ladavik. So everybody agrees, Shalom Al Yisrael, licorice is undoubtedly a shahakal. But where it came from is because of this mistake that it was flour, but it's only the Ladavik. Okay, that's a good point. Okay. But what's interesting, the Pais can use that, the chocolate issue. Now, cereal, I want to finish cereals and snacks and hopefully the fried chicken and the like. Cereals is a mayim she'enlam saif today. You know, every day they do cereals. Let me try to give you the practical guidelines that determine the Hilchos Brachos on cereals. It's rare to find a cereal that's not a teruvos. In other words, Cheerios is basically not a teruvos, right? Cornflakes lidach gisa is corn flour, but I think probably the majority of cereals are a combination of oat, wheat, and corn. Most cereals, whether you like it or not, have corn in it. Corn is a very cheap and a very effective ingredient. It holds. It's a wonderful. You know, today, if I tell you this, and I think this is true, if the Rishonim would be alive today, they would make corn to be a mezainis. Like rice, or probably more than rice. In America, corn is used much more than flour and rice probably put together. But anyhow, most cereals fall into this shayla of kol sheyesh bechamesh min yadavar. To give you one simple muscle, one group muscle, so we can eliminate the number of them. Bran cereals is a shahakal. Why is that? Because bran is basically a refuah item. If you know what I'm talking about, I don't have to explain it. But bran in its original state is a shahakal. That's what the Magen Avraham says. Bran is the outer shell of the kernel of the endosperm of the wheat. Bran is a shahakal. Bran is tasteless, it's bland, and doesn't have a consistency. It's like sand. Okay. Most bran cereals are not plain bran. Bran flakes and raisin bran, they all, if they have taste, if they have body, it has to have flour in it. It has to have wheat, okay? The wheat not only serves to give the body, but also the taste. Because if you ever taste bran, you'll know the difference. So bran flakes and raisin bran are mesoinus. The bran is probably the ikka and the ingredient. That's irrelevant, that's called sheyesh. Fruit circles, alphabets, I'm not getting involved with the kashers, the brands, but those type of cereals are takakol sheyeshboy, and could be, the you look at the listing of the ingredients, could be the corn is the first ingredient, so therefore the corn is the ikka, but that's a kol sheyeshboy. Captain Crunch, and this is amazing, but they had the courage to write it, and I certainly have the courage to share with you. Captain Crunch, the ingredients are corn, sugar, and oat. So the question is, what bracha do you make? Those that are, if it's past palta, they have to eat it in a sukkah. What bracha is it? And therefore everything follows. So my guess would have been it's a mezainis. Because if the third ingredient is oat, and oat's a very prominent ingredient, it certainly could be there for flavor. The company replied, and I quote, it's really the ikker is the corn. And even the oat is only there for body. So why do they prominently display the oat being there? It's a marketing ploy to downplay the significant amount of sugar that's put into their cereal. It has to have ice. The oil of emes. Some emes in this world. In other words, it's not even there for the taste of oat. It's there to give it more shiva so their mothers will safely feed their kids corn and sugar, basically. So it's a shakal, and you can eat it out of the sukkah, and there's no pas palta. In other words, Cheerios, those are marked without pas palta, would be a problem, this is not. Kix, and this I thank the newest printing, you have to really follow this form, of the same bracha, he reconciles a stira. In some of his bracha form, they said that kix is a mezainis, and some they said it's a shakal. So he wrote to them, and he replied that some personnel in GM, General Mills, feel it's there as a for dough consistency.
What's the
kicks.
What's the ingredient?
Certainly corn is first.
Can kicks.
Yeah, kicks. Take a look.
Corn, sugar,
yeah,
and oats.
Yeah, right.
Same.
But there, the bracha, the accepted bracha is a shakal, because we don't know. We don't know if it's there for consistency or not. There are many snacks out there. Many snacks out there. You'll be surprised how many snacks that are avadim mezainis. These super snacks, l'chol mineyem u'sugeyem, super snacks are mezainis. Take a look, wheat. Many snacks have wheat starch. Now this is an important cloud that's mamish metzias. Wheat flour could be there l'dabek, could be there for taste. Wheat starch is only there l'dabek. Wheat starch has no taste, like potato starch, like its cousin potato starch. It's there only l'dabek. There are potato chips I've seen. There are onion rings that have all with corn and everything, and they have a little bit of wheat starch. The bracha is shakal. Now, onion rings itself, I've seen two types. I forgot the name, offhand. Zechna Radama. Onion, you mean with onions in it? I'm talking about the kids' onion ring snack. Either it's a shakal because it's corn flour. There's no onion in onion rings, by the way. I don't want to break the bad news to you. There's no onion in onion rings, okay? It's corn flour. Either it has a significant amount of regular flour, so it's a mezainis. Look at the ingredient. Most of them are corn flour, and the wheat starch is de la dabik. Okay. Someone asked him once, he has corned beef. He doesn't want to wash. He takes the corned beef, and he says, like a very, very shlomish guy, he says, is a sick ratio that some bread remains. I can't scrape the whole bit of it. So he has to make a mitzi, because kol sheyeshmai. Again, he takes corned beef without the rye, but he can't get over all the rye. So I told him, that's a good question. But you're not eating the raw, a little bit of bread, l'kavanas achila, right? So then we'll use the klal of, that's, and the dabik is not exeris akas. So I told him, if you have leftover liver Sunday from Shabbos,
stuck.
Okay. And we have to have a reading. If you have You have liver, right? A little bit to challah. You dip it on Shabbos into the challah. So you have a breadcrumb on Sunday. You're making a wash. That's ridiculous. Why I say this, Lemaisa, this is a big problem. A big, big problem. In halach, it's a big problem. With any type of breading, fried chicken, fried fish, nuggets, chicken, all of these things, v'chulu v'chulu, in simple halacha, should be a vadei mezayin. Why? Kol she'yeshba. The ikka is a big piece of chicken, fine, but that doesn't make a difference. The only vadei shahakal, believe it or not, this is a mitzvah lefarsa, people don't even realize that, many commercially made coatings are made from cornflakes crumbs. In yeshivas it's almost the case, so there's a vadei shahakal. But if you know it comes from the mezayinous ingredients, Tom told me, that's the bracha mezayinous. Why should we be smarter than the Gemara? I asked him once about cookies and cream, ice cream. There's an ice cream that's certainly ice cream, but a little bit regular cream cookies in it. It's a mezayinous. That's why if you put croutons into your salad, it's there for taste. I told him, people say it's there for crunch. So he smiled and goes, what's this crunch? I had that taste. No. If it's there because you want to wake yourself up, if it has a not eating purpose, again, you can be creative. We have nothing against that. If you put in the mezayinus to give it color, to give it aroma, I mean, if it's shy, okay, but that's not the case. Why do some say shahakal? Again, this is hard to understand. Some say it's there, ladabik. But that's not ladabik. That's like our banker's type of ladabik. That's not ladabik. It's not, the chicken's not falling apart. Some say it's there, it shouldn't stick to the pot. So first of all, buy a no-stick pot. But besides that, it's not true. You buy flavored, you work hard. Some say it's there as a coating, so it's like lanoi. That's true. If you put on your breadcrumbs, lanoi, it's true. But I'm a fleshiger person, I'm a bus of a dumb, and you enjoy the coating. I tell people, and this I believe is the emes, we never like to say make two brachas. In other words, if you have a piece of fried chicken, so I would advise make a mezayinus on a mezayinus, not on take out the chmeizer, lakshin kugel, or whatever it is, make a mezayinus on a mezayinus and a shakel on a shakel, not on the same thing. Why do I say that? Usually to do that is a cop out. Learn halacha. Don't run to the refrigerator. You don't come to a shiur to hear that five different foods and make all the brachas. That's a cop out. When I'm saying it in this case, this is a really big suffering. If someone makes only mezayinus, I think he was yaitzer. But the Moshe and Rabbi Yaakov said you make a shakel. Why? Because they felt that kol she'yeshboi on fried chicken. They felt kol she'yeshboi means it's a direction. It's got to be the mezayinus has to be important. But if you start off with the hanocha that the chicken is the vadai ikka and there's nothing to talk about, kol she'yeshboi cannot apply. It's a new svar. I'm telling you, it's a new svar. Lamaisa, what we say is chicken nuggets, which are mamish more than 50% the topping, probably of adim zaynus. They serve it in yeshiva as a supper. It's veil svar. I think you can zicha make a mezaynus. You have a big piece of chicken and a thin a coating of mezaynus. Again, if it's cornflakes, forget about it. Then I advise to make two brachas, not on the same item, but because of this tremendous suffix in halacha.
Good day.
Tell me differently. Tell me differently. Tell me differently. Tell me a svara, I'm all ears. Tell me. The key that's for Rodham lives there.
Every spoon which has no croutons. One crouton is a big salad.
Oh, no. That's it. The
Archishulchan.
A mixture.
No,
two croutons, the whole thing?